Hello, I'm Paul Lay, editor of History Today. In the first of our new series of regular podcasts, Eugene Rogan, lecturer in the modern history of the Middle East at the University of Oxford and author of The Arabs, The History, discusses the current revolutions in the Middle East with Martin Evans, professor of history at the University of Portsmouth and the author of Algeria, Anger of the Dispossessed.
Right, Eugene, we're seeing remarkable events in the Arab world. For you as a historian of the Arab world, how does a historical perspective help us to understand these events? And then as a historian, how significant do you think these events are within Arab history?
I think 2011 goes down as one of those critical turning points in modern Arab history. I think it's a year of revolutions, and I think it's going to bring substantive change to the way the Arab peoples and their governments get on with each other. So change started in Tunisia and Egypt. How appropriate. If you go back to the 19th century and we're looking for where the centers of reform in the Arab world were, it was Tunisia and Egypt that were leading the way. And so I think their history really does have a lot to tell us about the events today.
Right. And how would you, as a historian trying to explain the roots of what we're seeing in the Arab world at the moment, how would you attempt to explain it?
I think the broadest point of comparison is we have seen, depending on the country, 40, 50, 60 years of autocratic government go unchallenged by its people. I think in each case, these were governments that came to power with a lot of high hopes invested, you know, by citizens in their governments. But as the years wore on, each of these governments grew increasingly entrenched, less responsive to the needs of their people, and increasingly corrupt. And I think things finally reached a breaking point as populations grew very large, the median age very young, the level of education very high, and I think that, you know, living under autocracy was less and less supportable. So the system's breaking down.
And would you, as a historian, would you actually use the word revolution to describe what is happening at the moment?
I think what we see in Tunisia and Egypt are certainly revolutions in progress. I don't think it's enough to say that bringing down Ben Ali or Mubarak constitutes in itself a revolution. The work in both Tunisia and Egypt remains to be done, which is to take the gains of toppling a government and then consolidate it by constitutional reform, by breaking the power of the official party of state, and by opening the political arena and taking the fear out of politics. You know, close the political prisons, allow people to meet and exchange views freely, enjoy the dignities that people around the world have come to associate with free and open political societies.
So, as a historian, what sort of revolution do you think it is? I mean, some people have talked about it being an Arab 1989. Do you think it's true to say that?
I can see the parallels, and I think the people in the Arab world have compared themselves. The Tunisians were quick to declare themselves the Poland or the Gdansk of the Arab world. They saw the role that they were playing as somehow breaking through a barrier of what was politically imaginable. Suddenly, their movement had achieved the impossible. They had displaced a long-standing autocrat. If they could do it, why couldn't others? And so in this way, you'll have a chain reaction affecting a whole region the way that the events of 1989 affected Eastern Europe.
As a historian, would there be other analogies that you'd make, not just 1989? What would be the other historical parallels that you would perhaps look towards?
Well, interestingly enough, people keep asking if it's inappropriate to talk about Arabs in a collective way. And I think that people in the Arab world do pay more attention to what goes on in other parts of the Arab world than they do with any other part of the world. So in a sense, though the Tunisians might talk about Gdansk, in a way that they're probably looking back to their own era of revolutionary ferment in the 1950s and 60s as the closest examples. Then against corrupt regimes too closely linked to imperialism, monarchies, trying to bring in technocrats and modernists and modernizers in a very secular age. They might also be thinking about the aftermath of the Iranian Revolution and the way the 1980s really saw the rise of Islamic forces to power. So there are a host of revolutions that are closer to their own experience than what went on in Eastern Europe after 1989. But